The Dr. Taz Show.
The podcast.
Dr. Taz.
Superwoman Wellness.
Here's Dr. Taz.
Welcome back to the show, where every episode of this show, I am determined to create superwomen. That's right. This is Superwoman Wellness, and I could not be more excited about my next guest. I got to watch her at Goop when I was there last year and totally blown away. You guys are going to be so excited about this. Joining me today is Laura Lynn Jackson. Laura Lynn is a high school English teacher and a psychic medium who's been certified by the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential and the Forever Family Foundation. She lives on Long Island with her husband and their three children, and her book, The Light Between Us, has done so well. Welcome to the show, Laura.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be on the show.
Well, we're thrilled to have you. And, you know, every day we're trying to make ourselves better. We're trying to juggle and handle all the pieces that are around us. This topic is one of my favorite. It's The Light Between Us, Stories from Heaven, Lessons for Living. And I know for a fact, because I'm included in this, that with all the juggling and trying to make the puzzle pieces work between everything that women today have going on in their lives, we kind of forget the main ideas sometimes. We kind of forget some of the lessons of why we're here. Tell us what your experience has been as an English teacher and also having the psychic ability. How did you enter this world? What's your journey been as you've sort of moved forward and understood that there's this other piece of us that we need to tap into?
Yeah, you know, it wasn't a smooth path, so to speak. You know, it definitely took me some time to come to terms with my abilities and honor them and embrace them and then go out in the world and use them. And I think that's really a journey all of us are on. You know, we come here, each one of us, programmed with very specific and unique gifts. And it's our job to kind of uncover them, unearth them, find them, honor them, share them with others, no matter where they lead. You know, I was raised in a family with, I had a brother and a sister, and both my parents were high school teachers. My mom was a high school English teacher, and my father taught high school French. And I was raised, you know, under the knowledge of academics. They're very, very important, and that's what we're meant to do in this world, is get a great education and then go out there and share it. So, you know, I planned on doing just that. Only ever since I was a child, I had these abilities that would not go away. And it took me a really, really long time to understand that I was meant to embrace them. And what's more, I wasn't meant to just use them as a tool for myself to navigate the world, but that I was meant to use them to help heal and teach others. And once I realized that piece of the puzzle, everything in my life fell into place.
Wow.
You know, what I learned from doing readings from the other side is that Earth is really a school, you know, and we're all spiritual beings having these human experiences. And we're also here to learn a collective lesson in love. And that's why no one individual's life will ever fully make sense if we just look at, you know, our own small life and what we view as success or failure and how we think we're doing. Because our life is really tied in extraordinary ways to other people's past and other people's journeys. The choices we make, the thoughts we have, the actions we take all influence one another. And so we're all part of this beautiful fabric of light in the here and now. So, you know, for me, having these abilities has really been a journey into first understanding them myself, then learning to see them as a gift rather than a curse. Because when I was very young, they definitely, you know, did not feel like a gift. They felt like
a
curse. And then, you know, embracing it and connecting with others through it.
That's fascinating. I've spoken to other psychics and intuitives before, and they talk about that same journey, how it's almost a burden until you really know how to manage it and understand the meaning and the depth behind it. And it's so funny. I love your book title, The Light Between Us. You know, I've been trying to verbalize to my team for years, you know, that while I do medicine and that's the language I speak, what I'm really chasing is light, and I'm after the light. And so many times I'll be like, no, there's not enough light in that picture. There's not there. Where's the light? And they're like looking at me dumbfounded. They're like, what is this crazy woman talking about? But it's just, I feel the same way. There's a light that I see come on in the patient room when people feel good and find their purpose. I see it when people make decisions that are in line with their spirit and their passion. You found those gifts as a child, the ability, tell us what that experience was like, you know, being a young girl and understanding that you have this gift and have this ability. How did that evolve? How did you come to terms with that? Give us some examples and maybe even a story or two.
Oh, absolutely, I will. But I first want to comment on the beautiful things you're saying about, you know, being in the medical field and seeing and understanding the light that people give off and also between them. I think that's a language we all perceive in one way or another, but some of us are tuned out of it. And I think when we cross, we return to that light energy. You know, our consciousness remains, but our physical bodies, we don't need anymore. So I love, first of all, that you recognize it too and that you see it too. That's just beautiful. As for my journey, how I first came to terms with it, I think as a little kid, I didn't understand that everybody else wasn't perceiving people and the world around them in the same way that I was. You know, for me, I would feel what other people were feeling. You know, we call that being an empath. But what I was really feeling was that person's energy and aura and emotions. But I just thought that's how it worked for everybody. You know, we just felt each other's, you know, moods and so forth. At times it could be confusing because if I was around somebody in a very strong mood or an angry mood or someone who was very upset but maybe trying to hide it, it would overwhelm me and I would not be able to always separate what were my feelings from the other person's feelings. And I think probably many children experience this and maybe even many adults, you know, picking up on others' energy and feelings. I'd also see people in colors, you know, and I'd learn like if somebody had a kind of blue aura, I would get along very well with them and that they were in a place of like peace and, you know, love and understanding. But let's say somebody had a red aura, I would know, let me avoid that person for right now because they're going through something and they're angry or they're, you know, struggling with, you know, maybe they're cranky or something like that. But for me, it came into, you know, acute focus when I was 11 years old. I was very close with my grandparents, my mother's parents, and I was very close with my grandfather. I called him Papa. And I would say he was one of the pivotal people in my world growing up, in my, you know, circle of love and energy and family. And I remember one August day, it was really hot. I was outside in my swimming pool. I was 11 years old. You know, it was like the final week and a half, 2 weeks before, you know, school starts again. And I was in my swimming pool with my brother and sister, and my mother called out to us and said, okay, you know, I'm going to go visit my parents, your grandparents now, and I'll be back in a few hours. Dad's home. I'll see you later. And I was gripped with this absolute knowing, this almost terror that gripped every cell of my being that I had to get out of that pool and go to my grandparents. It was just this sense of utter panic that I couldn't understand or explain. So, you know, I screamed to my mom, please, you have to wait for me. I have to come with you. And she looked at me like I was a little bit off that day. She said, it's a sunny August day. You're swimming and enjoying. Right. Why would you come with me for an hour drive and do this? And I would go see my grandparents a lot. So it wasn't, you know, as if, you know, I hadn't seen them for a while. But I said, no, you just have to wait. You have to. So she did. I went inside and I changed. I got in the car. We got to my grandparents and that feeling of just absolute panic didn't go away until I got to my grandparents and I saw my grandfather. And then I spent the entire day with him and we just laughed and told stories and sang and just had the most beautiful time together. And when it was time to leave, I remember hugging him and saying goodbye and feeling, you know, a little bit strange. And we got home and 2 days later, my grandfather got diagnosed with leukemia and went straight to the hospital. And in those days, you know, kids weren't allowed to go to the hospital. So nobody could go see him other than the adults. And within 2 weeks, he had crossed. And what I came to very quickly understand about that sense of fear and panic and all that was me knowing that he was going to die and that this would be my last opportunity to see him. You know, it was kind of this emotional language I was feeling at the time. So soon after, I remember I found my mom and I confessed to her because I felt so guilty and so cursed and like something was wrong with me. And I confessed and I said, Mom, the reason I was, you know, asking you to wait for me is because I knew Papa was going to die. And I said, you know, what's wrong with me? You know, because kids aren't supposed to know. Nobody's supposed to know when people they profoundly love are going to die. You know, I felt like I had been complicit, you know, in his death or that, you know, why would I want this information? I remember her sitting me down and saying, you know, Laura, no part of you is cursed or dark or broken. She said, this is just an extra ability you have. That's all. And you need to embrace all parts of who you are. And then she confessed that it had run in her family for generations, you know, that my aunt had when she was around that same age, you know, told my grandmother, oh, you know, the phone rang and she said, oh, it's people from Germany calling to tell you that Uncle Carl died. And my grandmother slapped my aunt and then answered the phone, and it was her relatives in Germany calling to tell her that her half-brother Carl had suddenly died. And, you know, my aunt didn't even know she had an Uncle Carl because there were 10 kids in the family and all this. So, right. You know, once I understood that, I felt more, you know, part of maybe a club that I wasn't sure I wanted to belong to. But I think it was my mother's words, you know, the reason that I didn't shut down, because I think many of us have these psychic experiences. We have these spiritual connections and these knowings, and we get afraid of them. And I think oftentimes when we're first opening to them, we get sometimes upsetting information because it's the most acute in our emotions that we'll feel. But in the end, what I came to realize about that moment of knowing is that it was a great blessing, because of that, I got out of the pool and I got to spend a day with him, just myself, one more day celebrating our love and saying, you know, goodbye for now. So that's really what made me know that I was different, or that there was something, you know, what at first felt wrong with me, but in the end, you know, did come to become a gift for me. But it took me decades to, you know, own it and honor it in the proper ways. That's for certain, you know, in my teens, I would just kind of use it to know things about people. I could kind of see if their parents were married, how many, you know, siblings they had, you know, and, in college, I used to use it as kind of like,
I saw
the guys, if I liked their energy, I'd be like, oh, you know, is your name begins with a J and your dad's on the other side, but your mom's here. And, you know, I got accused of being a stalker once, but then I ended up dating that guy for a year and it was a really lovely relationship. So I was like, I'm not a stalker, I'm just psychic. So, you know, it took me a while to honor it and learn that, you know, it's not meant to be used like that. You know, it's meant to help people on their journey and connect us here and to our loved ones on the other side. And the other thing I want to say is that nobody ever, ever needs to go to a psychic medium to connect with their loved ones, or what I call their team of light on the other side, which is God energy, which I call the universe, you know, this force of love that connects us all. And spirit guides, which are, you know, some people throughout time and history have called them guardian angels. I call them spirit guides. Mm-hmm. They're our teacher and our mentor guides on the other side. They're nobody we knew this lifetime. We kind of contracted with them before we came here. And then our team of light is also our loved ones on the other side who have crossed but helped still guide us and send us signs and messages and try to speak with us daily, you know. And it's, I think it's just a matter of opening our minds and hearts to that new language. And, you know, your life can transform when you do that.
That's fascinating. How do we do that? I mean, how are you able to do that with others, with yourselves? How, I mean, I have to confess, I might be one of those people that are just scared because I get intuition and senses all the time about different things, but I'm terrified to go any deeper than that, that, oh, my intuition says this, or, oh, my sense says that. You know, how have you been able to establish, to take your gift, to use it in a way that doesn't destroy you and wear you out? How are you able to do that? And then how do you translate that for other folks? Like anyone out there listening today who's like, okay, I think I might have a little bit of ability myself. How do we tap into that? How do we use it as a tool for power to improve ourselves and find ourselves rather than as something that overwhelms us?
I love these questions. You're really just... You are so insightful to ask this. Okay, so the first thing I want to say is I love that you've admitted that you have it, but you're scared of it. And I'm going to tell you, that is the number one thing that slams the door and shuts down one's psychic abilities and one's connections to the other side. And it's so typical. That's the number one reaction. When we get information, whether it's psychically and intuitively, or whether we get signs or we feel our loved ones around, we go, oh, and we get scared. And then we're like, oh, I don't want to think about it or talk about it. And then we don't talk about it to others. We don't share these beautiful stories of connection. You know, I think so many people are afraid of like knowing something bad, or that's not how the other side works. And that's not how this works. If you get a warning intuitively, it's because you can change the situation or being guided. If you get information ahead of time, it's to prepare you too. It's never anything dark or bad. It's just beautiful. But the first thing is, okay, how do we learn how to do this more openly? How do we learn how to trust it? And how do we use it as a tool in our life to add meaning and bring, you know, make us empowered and use it in a beautiful and light-filled way in the world? Those are such important questions. So I'm so happy to share with you what my personal journey has been in my process in case it's helpful to somebody listening right now. You know, for me, it was really overwhelming at first. As I described, you know, I'd be overwhelmed by other people's feelings and emotions. My information would come in really forcefully and randomly at times. And I'll tell you, I really didn't sit down and organize it and come up with a better, you know, plan of how to get my information until my 20s. You know, when I had my first daughter, I had her at 27. My kind of floodgates opened and wouldn't stop. So before that, I'd always had psychic abilities. I'd always get some things mediumistically, but let's say the volume level was maybe, you know, I could turn it down to, let's say, a 2 or 3, or it would be sporadic. The moment I had her, it was like this great portal of light connected me to not only her, but the other side, and then every other human being in the world. Like, just my love, my heart just opened so tremendously. Wow. And I had the same download from my guides that I would be doing this now in the world. You know, here I go. This had to become, you know, in the forefront of my life. So I said to my guides on the other side, and by this I mean, you know, I guess I'm always, when I do that, in a form of meditation, but I said, okay, if I'm meant to do this in the world now, we have to set up some rules and some guidelines here, because I need to be really skilled at interpreting this language you're sending me. Because when I get information, and when anybody gets information, you're going to find that it comes very symbolically. So, you know, I talk about the four clairs each of us has, and these are my psychic toolbox too. And that's clairvoyance, which is clear seeing. So, you know, when you go to sleep at night and you dream and your eyes are closed, but you're seeing so much.
Oh yeah.
That's not with your physical eyes. That's with your third eye. That's your clairvoyant eye. And that is the sight we all return to once we cross. These physical eyes limit us. You know, we can only see what's in front of us in a certain way. When we leave our physical bodies, we have full vision and we see things in the most beautiful array of colors too, like the infrared spectrum and all sorts of things we can't see right now that are really around us, but we can't perceive. So that clairvoyance is a very powerful thing. And when you dream at night, it's taking place kind of like on a screen inside your mind. That's the same place I read from. When I read, I get, it almost looks like a teacher's old school blackboard. And I have it divided on the left side to get all my psychic information. And on the right, I get all my mediumistic information. A lot of the clairvoyant things, too, that I'll pick up on people or see will be projected on that screen. And so I'll see pictures, images, symbols, words, numbers, all different things. It's almost like a game of psychic charades to get me to feel something, to translate it into language. So that's the first clair that we all have, clairvoyance. We also have clairaudience, and I'd say that's probably the rarest of the four clairs, and it means clear hearing. I also think it takes the most amount of energy for the other side to do for us, but it definitely happens. Clairaudience means clear hearing, and it's when you hear a thought that's not yours. It's not like you're going to hear a booming sound outside of yourself. It takes place inside, but it might be a word, a phrase. It might be a name. It might be a clip of music, but you will hear it. And it won't come from you. Like I said, it will come to you. And then there's also claircognizance, which I call getting a download. It's clear knowing. And it's when you suddenly know information with no real way of having accessed it. But you know it 1,000%, you know, you trust it completely because it just, you absolutely know it in every ounce of your being.
Right.
That's claircognizance, and the other side can make us experience that. And then there's clairsentience, which is what I think most of us are the most open to. It means clear feeling, and it takes place in your solar plex area. You know, when people say, oh, I had such a gut feeling on this, it's because that is where we read energy from. You know, if somebody throws negative energy at me or positive, I will feel it in that area, like right around your belly button.
Too.
So I think that's where we read energy from. And it's also clairsentience can be like scent impression, where you feel a loved one around and then you, for a millisecond, smell that person's perfume. Or if they smoke, you might smell cigarette smoke. So clairsentience can take place in a lot of different ways, you know, in that sense too. The other side will use it to get me to understand if I'm speaking to someone who crossed and they want me to understand how they crossed is validation for the sitter who I'm reading for. And let's say they crossed from congestive heart failure, they will actually make me physically feel a pressure in my chest and then like a rising feeling like I can't breathe. And it's very quick that it happens, but it's very distinct and it's very different than what they'll give me if they crossed from a heart attack, which is a sharp like push on my chest area. So they use a language of clairsentience to get me to understand things. And I am not unique in this. Everybody has this. You know, I do.
I was about to, that's exactly what I was going to ask you actually, you know, are we gifted in one area more than the other? For everybody out there listening today, I'm speaking with Laura Lynn Jackson, who's written The Light Between Us, Stories from Heaven, Lessons for Living. And we're talking about tapping into our inner superpowers, one of which is having the psychic ability. And the four clairs, and I want to make sure I get it right, so please correct me if I'm wrong, Laura, is being clairvoyant, which is using your third eye, you know, clairhearing or clairauditory, which again, you might hear a command or hear something that's happened to me before, claircognizance or clairsentient. Those are our four clairs. Did I get it right?
Yeah, the second one I call clairaudient, but you totally nailed
clairaudient.
It. Great
Sorry.
Job.
I almost got it. But yeah, are we like more gifted in one area than the other? Are they all there? We just haven't developed that muscle.
They're
just
all
like other
there,
muscles?
But you know, that's such a great question too. They are all there, but some people are more gifted in one area than the other. But here's the magical thing that happens. When you exercise any one of them, all the rest open. It's like different flowers blossoming on the same branch of a tree, you know, or all the petals starting to open. So anytime you honor and exercise one, it automatically loosens and opens the rest. It's about energy elevating. It's about, you know, when you hear people talking about like your vibration, you know, that's a real thing. We all do have this kind of vibration to our aura and our energy. You know, music has vibrations too. You know, different things, everything has a vibration. So when we kind of elevate that, when we open it, when we bloom, so to speak, everything opens up. And I've seen this happen. You know, I do sometimes one day workshops, I do weekend workshops, and I have people coming in the beginning of, you know, the session saying, you know, I don't think I have any abilities and I don't think I can do any of this. And then I do these exercises, you know, to open people up. Let's say clairvoyantly, we do a remote viewing exercise where I say, okay, I have the picture in this envelope. I'm going to have you draw it now without you using your eyes. Use your third eye. And every single class, people will nail it and nail all these different things about it. And by the end of the class, they're all reading each other. Some of them already are like reading mediumistically, all within like a 7-hour period of one day. So it's just a matter of opening to it. And I also think there's collective energy. When you're around other people who are also opening their energy, it's just this beautiful, like, momentum happens. So, you know, I would also encourage people to have conversations about it and to look for workshops around them, you know, find out places you can go and maybe talk to friends and create like a little, you know, spiritual development circle where you maybe read a book on the topic and then try to do some exercises yourself. You know, it can be such an extraordinary thing. You know, and one of the really fun things you can do on your own too is just about communicating with your team of light on the other side is starting to open your mind and heart to receiving signs. So, for example, when I read psychically, I am retrieving information. I will look at somebody's energy. I'll get information. I'll see, you know, their core aura, which is kind of the blueprint for their soul initially. I'll see usually a timeline for their life and different soul cycles they might have been in. Like for 7 years, they might have been, you know, in a soul cycle where they're learning one lesson, let's say from age 20 to 27. And then at age 28, they went into a 14-year soul cycle or so forth. But that's, you know, retrieving information. Receiving information mediumistically and from a team of light is much like easier in a way. You just kind of sit back and you allow it to come to you. And this is where this language of signs and messages can come in. I promise you that everybody listening to this today has had signs and messages being sent to them. It's just that you might have missed it or you might have gotten it and then been like, oh, maybe I was just making that up and not really shared it or talked about it or honored it in the proper way. So I want to talk a little bit for a moment about the different default signs the other side uses automatically for us.
Okay.
Because if we haven't set up a sign, they have to use the default sign. So I think, you know, when we cross and we become light energy, it's easy for us to manipulate certain things. The first thing I want to mention is coins. And I think the reason for that, you know, pennies, dimes, nickels, and so forth is because they're metallic small objects. And for whatever reason, I think it's easy for the other side energetically to manipulate those into our path. And so, you know, when you're having a really bad day and you're missing maybe your dad who crossed, you think about him and suddenly there's a dime right in front of you. And sometimes in extraordinary ways, you know. I remember I was, you know, doing laundry one day and I was talking to my dad, you know, energetically in my mind, who had just recently crossed. And as I was telling him I love him and I missed him, I found a dime sitting like on its edge in the lint collector of the you know, at, like on the edge of the laundry thing. It was just fascinating. I was like, thanks, Dad. You know, so it happens for me too, but pay attention to coins in your path. The other thing they love to do is use electrical things to get us messages. So, you know, before the age of, you know, cell phones and smartphones and all of this, they would flicker lights, turn it off, on and off the TV, you know, do things like that. I once was doing a reading, you know, a long time ago, and I had a father on the other side apologize to his daughter because he said he was trying to throw his energy through electrical things while she was in the kitchen, and he ended up, you know, destroying her refrigerator. And she's out. She said, oh my God, my refrigerator did die last week. You know, and I was like, well, that was your daddy. He's really sorry. He was practicing and learning how to do this. So it was kind of funny. And I said to her dad on the other side, well, now you owe her a new refrigerator. You have to make that happen somehow. But you know, now that we're in the age of cell phones too, watch for blank text messages, calls with nobody there. You know, I once, you know, was speaking to somebody and she said, oh wow, that just happened to me. I was at, you know, a friend's funeral. I put my phone on silent. I went to my car afterwards and there was a voicemail and I listened to it. It was 15 seconds of the most beautiful ethereal music. And I tried to call the number back and it said this number doesn't exist. So, I mean, even things like that is just beautiful. Just pay attention to that. And then I think they also love sending certain creatures into our path. Birds, butterflies, deer, are very, you know, something they'll send a lot, ladybugs. And I think dragonflies, because those creatures use electromagnetic fields to navigate their world. You know, I've researched this. I've looked this up because I'm also very scientific. I'm not super woo-woo, and I didn't come to embrace my abilities by just accepting them. You know, I kind of went on this journey of discovery. I was raised by two teachers to be a critical thinker, and a critical thinker just accept it. You go and you explore it and discover it. So I've always been very interested in how it works and why this is happening and what's the science that could contribute to it or explain it. And so I discovered that all those very frequent signs that people get, all of those creatures are guided by electromagnetic fields. So I think it's very easy somehow for them to manipulate those fields to get those, you know, animals and creatures and insects in our path. So it's interesting. But here's the thing. Here's what I want to say. Those are the default signs. If we project our thoughts to them and ask them for a very specific different sign, they will get it to us. And when that happens, it becomes this extraordinary knowing, because it's one thing to read a book or listen to somebody have a reading or have a reading yourself by somebody else and have validations. But it's another thing entirely when it happens directly to you and there's no in-between person or there's no in-between vehicle. So, you know, and we can also like say things and deliver messages without knowing it. So let's say you create a language with, let's say, your grandmother on the other side. You want to know she's around and you ask for the phrase, love you more, or you are my sunshine. It might happen that you hear it in a song. It might be that somebody, you know, walking near you says it to somebody next to them, or somebody says it to you, or you see it on a sign, or you turn on the TV and it's there in a picture. You're going to get it in a myriad of ways. You just have to be open and paying attention. And I always say, like, make them a little quirky and different. You know, don't just ask for, you know, an elephant. Ask for a purple elephant, you know, and then pay attention, because sometimes you can miss them. You know, my mom asked my dad who had crossed to send a purple elephant as a sign. And shortly after, my sister, my mom and I went to the cemetery because we were picking out, you know, the gravestone. And then we said, okay, let's go get lunch. Let's go to this town nearby. And we were in Northport on Long Island, New York. Mm-hmm. And so we drove into town and then we went to this little bakery. And then we drove back to the cemetery. And on the way back, my sister said, oh my gosh, look at that. And the first stores that we passed on the way into town, there was a restaurant for lunch called The Purple Elephant with a five foot tall purple plastic elephant outside, like resin, like heart. We drove right past it and didn't see it the first time. So can you imagine those on the other side? They send us these messages and we drive past them and miss it. But if you pay attention, you'll catch it. So that was a really neat lesson for me. Like, even a psychic medium who is skilled at looking for signs and messages missed it the first time. You know, but I also say pick a song, pick, you know, lyrics, give them a whole bunch of things that they can talk back to you with, because you will start to see how present they are in your everyday life. And they definitely can help us with things. You know, I think there's some sort of rule that the more we ask them, the more they can help. You know, sometimes they're allowed to steer us, but I don't think they're allowed to intervene unless we ask for help. We can do this with silly things. We can even ask them for help with parking spots. Never mind, you know, family crises or trying to make a big decision about something. We can ask them for the little things and the big things. And I promise you, they never mind. You know, they're always watching over us and they see everything, the happy, the sad. They're always with us, and letting us know they're around brings them, you know, great peace and joy, because that's all about connection and love. So when we get the signs and then we honor them, and the way to honor them is to acknowledge it in our mind and heart. And if we want to share the stories with others, that's even better, you know. But I think nobody needs a psychic medium. We all have these abilities. It's just a matter of opening our minds and our hearts to it. And the more you do it, the more you kind of practice doing this and stay open, the more you're going to get, the more you become in what I call the flow of light of the universe. And I also think it leads us on our highest path. So it can be a really practical, powerful tool, you know, and a really beautiful one.
This is so powerful. This is such great information. I think for everybody out there listening today, if you've ever doubted or questioned or wondered, you know, what it is, what you're hearing, what you're feeling, and then tried to dismiss it, I know I have. This is so helpful, and this is just eye-opening, you know, just so much that is at hand and at stake that we can use when we're trying to make tough decisions, when we're trying to achieve goals, when we're trying to understand how we feel about something. Laura Lynn, I know you've got workshops. Are they online? Are they in person? How do you typically operate?
As of now, I've done them in person. I am the most techno unsavvy person that I know of. I am going to learn how to do, you know, these sort of online workshops in time.
Right.
But I typically, you know, it's always on my events page, like upcoming events on my website, which is www.lauralynnjackson.com. You know, I have some coming up this fall, and I plan to do more as we go into next spring and summer. I usually do workshops every few months in all different areas of the country too. So I get around. And then the best way to know about that too would just be follow me on social media, like, you know, Facebook. I'm Psychic Medium Laura Lynn Jackson on there. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. And I usually post about that, or subscribe to my mailing list on my website. And I always will send advanced information. But, you know, you don't even necessarily, if you can come to a workshop, great. But you can also kind of do an independent study on this. You know, I never had a teacher. I learned by kind of connecting with the other side and trusting it. I think trust is a huge part of it. So if you open your mind and your heart and then you trust, you can start developing on your own. Can a workshop be like an amazing catalyst to jumpstart you? Absolutely. You know, I'm doing a 3-day one at the end of October at Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York, and something like that will like blast people wide open. But I also do, you know, 1-day workshops. I've done them at the Open Center in Manhattan and different places, and those jumpstart people too. So the answer is, you don't necessarily have to take a workshop. It will always help. But for those people who maybe can't go sign up for a workshop right now, it doesn't mean you have to wait. Get started on this right away. And I think reading books can be tremendously helpful. You know, go to the metaphysical section of the bookstore, the library, or, you know, look for book recommendations from people too. Or what I did is I used to go to the metaphysical section of the bookstore, and I would open to my guides and I'd say, okay, pull me to whatever book I'm supposed to read next. And I would get a pull. So I would buy it, read it, move on to the next. They had me kind of on like an independent study, and every book gave me an understanding of something I was already experiencing. You know, so your guides will work with you in the most beautiful way.
Oh my gosh, this has truly been one of my favorite topics and one of my favorite episodes. And I literally am looking at my notebook. I could go for probably 2 to 3 more hours asking you questions and picking your brains. I want to know more about the Earth School. I want to know more about what you think about religion and how it fits into this, because I know that's a block for a lot of people. I want to learn more about how to tap into all of this, but we are out of time. We'll have to dive into those at another time. But for everybody else who's out there and who's listening today, And I think the takeaway, the biggest takeaway, I've already been a little bit on this path, but I think the biggest takeaway, if this is new information for you, is to understand that we're all gifted with this ability. And if you can even figure out how to use it in ways small and large to empower yourselves and to help you move your life forward, and to understand that each of you, every single person has a mission, has a purpose, has a meaning for being here. And when we turn the wrong way or don't listen, sometimes we end up in a place that was not really meant for why we're here. So this is just another tool, like all the different tools that we talk about in making you guys superwomen. So Laurelyn, thank you so much for joining me today. For everybody else, wait till the next episode. We will talk more about superwomen wellness.